So each one of us sitting here this morning, each one of us, the person in front of you, the person right behind you, the person on your left, the person on your right, we all have this thing in common that connects us at our core, our faith. It takes each one of our uniquely God-given individual colors and binds us together in this beautiful rainbow that makes us church. We believe in Jesus enough to keep coming back each week to hear the things that we need to hear to navigate the waters of life. That Jesus is and always will be with us. We never, ever walk alone. Have you ever noticed that you can walk out the door on a Sunday morning and you think, okay, I've got this, this is good. And then come about Tuesday, you're thinking, what happened? Sometimes it's Monday. So why do we let the worries and doubt of life weigh us down? And it causes us to be afraid, that causes us to worry, that causes us to doubt. I was sitting in my office earlier this week reading through this morning's text and looking at the sermon title, Joy and Disbelief, and it struck me that if we were to really stop and think about it, how often do we actually allow ourselves to experience joy? Think about that. Do you regularly in your daily life allow yourself to experience joy? Now, disbelief, fear, and worrying about the future, that we've got covered. I pretty much do that on a daily occurrence. But joy. And then all of a sudden, I hear these screeching noises, lots of them. And I look outside and I see 50 of our Mount Olivet preschoolers come spilling forth from the building, running outside to play in the warmth and in the sunshine. So I hop up and I open up my window so I can hear all those sweet young voices giggling and shouting. 3, 4, and 5-year-olds running up and down the creek, holding hands, wrapping around the trees, jumping up and down, twirling their dresses, picking up sticks and having swordfish fights, smiling and laughing in the sun with pure, unadulterated joy. Unadulterated joy. It was a joy party. Their teachers are watching over them and keeping them safe. A warm lunch awaits them when they come inside. And someone who loves them will come and bring them home at the end of the day. They trust that they are safe and that they are cared for, and so they play. And isn't that exactly what Jesus has been trying to tell us all along? I'm here. I've got you. You're safe. So get out there and enjoy this one life I have given you. Go play. Find your joy. And yet we doubt. Here we are 2 weeks out from Easter. Jesus was crucified on Good Friday. 3 days later, Monday morning, two women go to his tomb to anoint his body with spices. And when they get there, the stone has been rolled away, the body is gone, and two men in dazzling white ask them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen." So the women run and tell the apostles that Jesus is risen, but the men do not believe them. That same day, two of those same men are walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and Jesus walks up to them. Steeped in their doubt, not believing what the women had just said, that Jesus was alive, they don't even recognize their friend. So Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow you are to believe. Jesus gives them the bread and the wine like the very last time that they were together, and then finally they believed. And yet even then their joy didn't last, and fear and doubt crept back in. The men immediately returned to Jerusalem to tell the rest of the disciples that they had seen Jesus in the flesh. And while they were telling the story of what had just happened to them on that very day, Jesus walks in the door. And again, their human doubt raises its ugly head, and they are terrified, thinking they're looking at a ghost. So Jesus asks them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your heart?" That's really the million-dollar question, isn't it? Why are we frightened? And why do we let doubts arise in our hearts? Whom shall we fear? We believe in Jesus. Whom shall we fear? We weren't born doubting. Think of those kids playing outside, not worried about a thing. But we sure learn to doubt, don't we? With each disappointment and broken promise that the world throws at us, just like the disciples, the less likely we are to simply let go and trust that God's got this, that God's got us. Does knowing that even the disciples' doubt help at all? The human in us causes us to doubt, but our faith causes us to pray. We know that prayer helps. It doesn't magically relieve all of our problems. It doesn't magically heal our loved one who is sick, but it brings us closer to the one and only one who can bring us the true comfort and peace that we so desperately crave. Here is our gospel challenge for the week. Think back on your life when the thorns of life were causing you to doubt and fear, and then God showed up in the midst of your doubt. Maybe you were working toward a huge goal at work, on the field, in your personal life. You're hitting the wall, sure that all of your work was for naught, thinking there's no way to cross the finish line, no way to heal that broken relationship, no way to heal your loved one. And then God showed up, and the whole story changed. Don't worry, I'm real, I'm here, and I've been with you all along. I'll close with this thought. Like the disciples, we'll never completely trade in doubt for trust. But if we look back on all the scary times of our life, we'll see that it turns out that Jesus was indeed walking alongside us each and every step of the way. And then perhaps, just like the preschoolers, we'll remember that we too are watched over, that we too will soon have a warm lunch, and that at the end of the day, our Father will come and take us home. And then maybe, just maybe, sometimes, but not always, we just might trust enough to run and to play and to experience the joy that God intends for us each and every day. Amen.